I mean, some people do loathe you.
Yes, some people do.
But do you understand why?
A 250 million people follow me is that I think a lot more people actually like me than don't.
Nuh-uh. People don't hate me. They hate you. Homie, you have all these followers because you bought Twitter. All right, everybody, I got to show you the brutal moment that Elon Musk just cannot defend the actions he's taken over the past few years. I get a deep satisfaction from watching trillionaire Elon Musk struggle to defend the indefensible actions that he took as a special advisor to Donald Trump when he was allegedly high on ketamine while he was walking through the White House for 120 days, gutting agencies, cutting contracts, and rigging the system for himself. It was indefensible even on the campaign trail when he was donating vast amounts of money to Donald Trump, holding raffles in swing states to try to persuade voters to vote for Republicans, then getting sued for those raffles because he was basically buying off voters. Then Elon Musk revealed that it was never actually a raffle. He had rigged it from the beginning, therefore the lawsuit could be thrown away. I mean, it's all insane. And still to this day, Elon Musk is using his platform of Twitter, or X, to spread a massive amount of disinformation, lies, absolute false science, false data about race, about racism, about crime. He tries to paint certain countries or cities as hellholes so that he can push his own political narratives. He tries to fearmonger to his 250 million Twitter followers and use his influence to push narratives that will push the United States political system to the right, will push the European political system to the right. I mean, he's been tweeting relentlessly about the United Kingdom and London. He's been tweeting relentlessly about Germany and other countries throughout Europe, and it's very clear what his endgame is. All of this is to say that Elon Musk is up to a cynical plot where he is trying to pull the entire world to the right, and we have to be pushing back. We have to be holding the line on democracy, on liberalism, on individual rights, because we are up against an actual trillionaire who is trying to weaken all of those things. Weaken democracy, weaken our elections, weaken equality and human dignity and human rights across the globe. We need to continue to call this out every single day. Let's start off with this clip of Elon Musk trying to claim that zero people died from cuts to USAID. And he starts to get combative and rather antsy throughout this clip. Let me just point out, he's lying. He's lying. There are reportedly hundreds of thousands of deaths that have already occurred from the sudden slashing of USAID, which was our aid to other countries. It made up like 0.07% of our budget. And yet Elon Musk cut it all and said that we saved something. Watch this clip right here. It gets rather brutal for the trillionaire.
You don't buy the idea that anybody, to put it really crudely and simply, any kid in Africa died because of the suddenness with which...
Zero.
I just don't think that's right. I just don't think... I've had people reporting in Africa who...
How many NGOs are there that could step in? Because bear in mind, it happened quickly, and there are... literally tens of thousands of NGOs.
Okay, so this is where the fire hose of lies starts from Elon Musk, where he awkwardly tries to slither his way through it. At first he says nobody's died, but then he says that NGOs could have just stepped in to prevent this anyways. So they could have stepped in to prevent what? People dying?
Not everyone functions as fast as you do. If funding is cut off for antiretrovirals overnight and it just stops, then people will die when they don't have access to them. And it just...
Only if they cannot get funding for that. But well, the Gates Foundation has $50 billion. What about them? What about any one of a number of organizations? What about
Mackenzie Bezos? In lots of these countries, USAID...
Mackenzie, whatever her last name is, used to be Bezos, gave $50 billion. What about that?
But Elon, let's be practical. In many of these countries, USAID was the biggest funder. But I don't want to have an argument
about this. USAID was a political organization.
It may also have been that, but it was the biggest funder of healthcare systems. So I'm very
biggest
sure
funder
that there was...
Of regime change.
And there may well be benefits from having changed
also,
the system.
Also, USAID funding was not stopped. It was moved to the State Department.
Stopped. There were huge numbers of things shut down in Africa that were.
Dude, Elon Musk is doing the fire hose of lies. He bragged about this specific thing, quote, throwing USAID into the wood chipper. The studies show that 90% of USAID programs were immediately paused or stopped or cut due to Elon Musk's taking over of it, and there was no contact with the people on the ground in these countries. I mean, Americans who were working on behalf of USAID were like stranded and confused and were losing the communities that they had built for years and years and years because Elon Musk stripped away all of the care.
No, there were claims of this. These claims are false. They're nonsense, absolute nonsense. But when funding is stopped for fraudulent organizations or for something, do you think they're going to say, well, please keep funding the fraud? Or do you think they're going to come up with a sad story that sounds sympathetic in order to get the funding restored? Obviously, it will be the latter, and that's exactly what they did.
Bro, if I were writing a screenplay of like an evil billionaire, scratch that, an evil trillionaire who is trying to kill starving kids and then goes on an interview and says that the starving kids and the families there are lying about it because they were actually committing fraud and we just have to keep giving him contracts. If I wrote a screenplay about that, I think people would say that it's too far-fetched and he's too villainous. Then you add in the black leather jacket. Really quickly, I just want to read this. It's an article that says, if Musk says he wasn't able to talk to any suffering children, here's a sourced list of some of the children who died after USAID funding was axed. Of course, it's for Musk and readers to decide whether USAID cuts can be said to have caused their deaths, but they would argue, now this person would argue, that abruptly withdrawing medication or food that a child needs to stay alive, with no alternative way for them to obtain that medicine or food that they need to stay alive, qualifies as directly causing their death. I would agree with that definition. Those children are not available for Musk's phone call now, but perhaps the SpaceX owner could call their relatives and learn something about how much each of these children meant to their families. Perhaps he could call Rovina Nabai in Kenya. She lost her little daughter Jane to starvation in a refugee camp. Jane's death was documented by Dr. Atul Gawande, who headed USAID's global health efforts under the Biden admin and now works at Harvard School of Public Health. As Gawande explained in a short documentary about Nabai and Jane's situation, the food for the camp was provided by USAID. After the cuts, it was rationed to 40% of the daily caloric needs, one meal a day. Jane's mother said, quote, after the changes in food rations, I realized my daughter Jane was sick. She had high fever and chills. Days later, she developed diarrhea, a skin rash. Then her body peeled into wounds and became swollen. They didn't have the food to support it. This happened to hundreds of thousands of people, according to this. The New Yorker says, what we are now witnessing is what the historian Richard Rhodes called public man-made death. Brooke Nichols of the Boston University has maintained a respected tracker of the current impact. The model is conservative, assuming that the State Department will fully sustain the remaining programs, but they won't. The toll is appalling and will continue to grow. As of November 5th, and this was a while back, it had caused the deaths of 600,000 people, two-thirds of them children. Let's click on this tracker and see where it takes us. This impact tracker tracks the 1 year projected deaths, hundreds of thousands of adult deaths, and double the amount of children deaths. This is absolutely despicable, and here's Elon Musk lying about it.
But zero died because of Doge. Zero point zero.
I actually have a lot of sympathy for the change of the aid regime that the U.S. under the Trump administration has precipitated. However, I think the pace and the suddenness with which it happened will almost certainly have caused unnecessary suffering.
She's right that it caused unnecessary suffering and death, but she's just giving too much ground to him. By the way, this reporter is doing an amazing job. It's The Economist editor-in-chief, Zanny Minton-Bedos. She's doing a brilliant job, but I wouldn't even concede that USAID should have been stripped. Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth and all of these people are currently running this administration, which is asking for $1.5 trillion in our military budget. I'm pretty sure the $55 billion that went to USAID is just a drop in the bucket to prevent disease, to save lives, to create a healthier globe, to create a human dignity-based, rules-based international system, yet Elon Musk wanted to strip that away for his own profit. Tommy Vitor says, Elon is delusional or a liar. His position is that no one died from Doge feeding USA into the wood chipper, as he so vividly said, but also private foundations should have helped these programs, but also there weren't even cuts in the first place. It's a completely incoherent spin.
Bring a deficit. I think both of those can
no,
be true.
No, I think that's totally false.
Okay. Well, let's...
And obviously false, because there are the amount of funding we're talking about is far less than what can be done, than what can be supported via private by a foundation.
You guys see what's happening here, right? He's jumping from argument to argument to argument, and the interview gets even worse. Watch what happens when Elon Musk gets confronted on the fact that he hasn't even visited the United Kingdom in years, yet he's using his Twitter platform of 250 million followers to constantly say that a civil war is inevitable in the United Kingdom. Just imagine this. Imagine that screenplay that I was writing earlier on in the video, and this archetype of a villain with a black leather jacket is saying that it's actually the kid's fault that they're starving and they're just making it up due to fraudulent reasons, whatever. And then you find out that he's using his massive megaphone to call for a civil war in a country that he hasn't visited in years. He is trying to stir up division and hatred. He is just as bad as the Russian government, which tries to incentivize more racism, more xenophobia, more misogyny. They try to strategically incentivize anti-Semitism and Islamophobia in American societies because they want to create a less cohesive society. The trillionaires, the people who are in power, the oligarchs, they want everybody to be fighting amongst each other so people don't notice what's actually happening.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Elon, you have, what is it, close to 250 million followers on X.
Yeah, because
you say things like,
popular guy.
Quote, civil war in Britain is inevitable.
Okay, beyond the civil war is inevitable, you already said he's a popular guy. That was the cringiest thing I've ever heard. But listen closely to the question that is being asked by Zanny Minton-Bedos. This is a really, really good question. This is one of my biggest gripes with Elon Musk. I don't care if you're a business owner. I don't care if you build a massive business. I do care about wealth inequality, and I do care about people gaining wealth and using that to spread disinformation.
To 250 million followers on X.
Yeah, because
you say things like,
popular guy.
Quote, civil war in Britain is inevitable. Just a question
on the current
of when.
Trend, yes.
I mean, when were you last in the UK?
A few years ago.
Exactly. So I live there. I'm there the whole time. That is nonsense.
You live out a cloistered existence.
No, I don't, actually. And the numbers also disprove what you say.
What numbers?
All the numbers about crime. London is a much safer city than any city in the United States. Violent crime in the UK is not where you think it is. In fact, it's coming down. You have painted, and because you have so many followers, so many Americans believe it, a kind of view that Europe and the UK are kind of, you know, overrun with terrifying Muslim immigrants. There's rape on every corner. There's a sort of civilizational destruction.
I haven't said any of those things. If you have a large... and growing, rapidly growing, group of people whose beliefs are antithetical to Western beliefs, at some point there will be a reckoning. They will try to implement their views, and those who oppose it will oppose it, and that's what you call civil war.
This is very ironic coming from Elon Musk, who has spewed a lot of anti-Western values on his platform. Elon Musk, if you open his Twitter on any given day, is trying to tear down and punch down against minority groups. On any given day, he's lying about the wealth inequality that he has created in order to further his agenda. And on any given day, he's trying to dismantle and undermine the very same democracy and the institutions that have allowed him to get incredibly rich in the first place. I mean, this guy built his business off of government subsidies and then tried to spread election fraud lies when his candidates didn't win in the 2024-2026 election and beyond. Spencer Pratt was running for the mayor of LA, and he lost in LA because he was a Republican in LA, and Elon Musk was spreading conspiracy theories about this.
And obviously, this is the trend. And you absolutely do live in a cloistered existence. And if you'd like, we can go on a tour of Britain.
Sure.
I'd
be very happy
tour,
to come on a tour of Britain.
And you will see
you
for yourself.
You come see my country that I live in all the time and you haven't been
yes,
to a few
I've
years ago.
I've been there literally 100 times.
But when was the last time?
Literally a few years ago.
It's been a few years. How can you say that they're on the verge of a civil war and that it's inevitable if you haven't been there since like 2020 or whatever?
It exercises me because you have really shaped opinion about the UK. And so many Americans I come across, and I have conversations.
I'm sorry to keep pausing. I'm sorry, but look at how this idiot is nodding along. He's so egotistical. He just likes to hear that he's shaped opinion, but he's shaped opinion in a negative way. This is the problem. Elon Musk's real power right now isn't just the $1 trillion that he has. It's the attention economy that he currently operates in, that he dominates, and he's able to control public opinion whether we like it or not. Sometimes I get these emails. It's like, Adam, why do you cover Elon Musk and not just ignore what he says? And it's because that is a mistake, to ignore what the man with the biggest megaphone in the world is saying. He's spreading relentless lies, and we need to be pushing back.
Last time.
It's literally a few years
you
ago.
Know, you know why this exercises me? Because you have really shaped opinion about the UK. And so many Americans I come across, and I have conversations with, and they'll be, and I just had one the other day, along the order of, oh, London's such a dangerous place. How can you know? There are sort of grooming gangs everywhere. There's violence everywhere. This is a picture that people get from things that you post or that are posted on X. And for example, you're posting for, what was it, 48 hours of Citizen Vigilante. That film, which, yes, you know, paints a dystopian. I've watched it.
Yes.
It was not fun. I watched it yesterday. It's not a very good movie. But it also paints a dystopian picture of Europe.
He intentionally and surgically boosts profiles that spread race realism, fake race science, like science that will just be faked crime stats and say that black people are inherently more violent. He interacts with and boosts posts like that every single week.
People say that you're a racist. What is the motivation for doing that? Are you fermenting?
My partner is she's half Indian, and and I have four children with her. One of them was named after a famous Indian physicist. So I would say I'm not racist. And also, if you look at the people that are employed at my companies, we have senior executives of all races.
Because there are laws that say you can't discriminate based on race, first of all. Second of all, I can't believe he just tried to use the I have a black friend so I can't be racist card. Except in this case, he said that his partner is currently Indian, so therefore he cannot be racist. There is a difference between individual racism and institutional racism. Now, Elon Musk, in his day-to-day life, I don't know how he operates. Maybe he's friendly with everybody that he meets in his day-to-day life. But Elon Musk has done more than probably anybody in modern political history to foment and spread the type of institutional racism and spread the type of individual racism that creates a less cohesive society. If you don't believe me, if you think I'm just using buzzwords, let me read to you this article. A few months ago, Elon Musk offered a characteristically terse reply to a post. He always does this thing where he just replies with an exclamation point in order to boost the post in the algorithm. He's able to use his ownership of Twitter to boost posts by just having a simple reply, and those posts go from 100,000 views to 20 million views, basically every single time. The claim that prompted the amazement from Elon Musk, it was that there had been a marked increase in the number of white Americans killed by black Americans over time. Quote, it's true that things have changed since the 1950s. One user, who is a white supremacist on Twitter, wrote, in the 1950s, blacks killed about 600 more whites each year than whites killed blacks. Now, blacks kill 1,500 more whites each year. This isn't true. It's literally fake stats. Fake stats. The line of argument is not a novel one. For some time, racists have pointed to disparities in homicide rates as a way of suggesting that black Americans are inherently dangerous or threatening to public safety. So listen, while I don't have video of Elon Musk walking up to an individual and saying something racist on an individual level, it is very clear that he uses his platform to foment and spread the type of bigotry, xenophobia, and racism that is currently being mainstreamed and brought back online. I mean, hell, if you spend 10 minutes on Twitter or X, it's like Nazi Germany there right now. Race realism, crazy fake stats. In 2015, Donald Trump shared an image suggesting that 4 in 5 white murder victims were killed by black offenders. I mean, how about this article? Elon Musk, the world's richest person, is on the cusp of a record-setting IPO that could make him a trillionaire. This is from a few months back. He is now a trillionaire. In the recent months, he's been increasingly vocal about something else, rallying white people to stand up for their race. Quote, whites are a rapidly dying minority. Musk wrote in January in a post on his social media X and has garnered more than 17 million views. Like I said, he pulls tens of millions of views spreading this type of BS. Musk then declared there had been unrelenting hate and poisonous propaganda in the West against anyone white, straight, or male over the past decade. No more guilt trips, enough. He posts about this all of the time. He posts about race daily. For 166 days, he posted about race. So yeah, I would say that he's pretty racist. You know, while we have all of these bad examples of masculinity, people like Elon Musk, Andrew Tate, Donald Trump, I also want to point out that Alan Ritchin is taking a stand against toxic masculinity, against the Epstein files. Take a listen here.
People, I think, are a little bit afraid of me because they're like, he's a loose cannon. And I'm not. I'm just saying the shit that everybody should say if they give a shit about humanity. Everybody else should feel like I feel.
The world
and
is on fire.
The world, yeah, like all mad about the way things are and the abuses that are happening. The Epstein files? The fucking Epstein files! God damn it! Where are they? It's a fucking law, bitch. Show it, you fucking pedophiles. I shouldn't say fuck because I'm a Christian and people are going to be like, how can he say fuck and he's a Christian? Because that is something that should make you want to say fuck. Yeah. You know, sorry, God, I'm sweating now. This is my fucking politics, dude. I would fucking railroad these fuckers. I would get those Epstein files out in 2 seconds.
I really like it. I really love the energy. One final clip of Elon Musk getting rather confrontational here.
Politics. What? You don't even live there.
I think of it as the sort of the West collectively.
But do you see why this makes people think that this man who has all this power, he's the world's richest man, he thinks he has a right to influence our politics. It makes people, it's why, you know, we started this conversation saying superlatives. It's why people loathe you.
Yep.
I mean, some people do loathe you.
Yes, some people do.
But do you understand why? Do you think what you're doing is helpful for Western democracy?
Maybe some people do loathe me. And that's probably true. I don't care.
Oh my God, he is tweaking.
But the fact that, as you pointed out, 250 million people follow me is that I think a lot more people actually like me than don't.
Brother.
And I think a lot more people hate you and the media more than you realize.
Nuh-uh, people don't hate me, they hate you, is basically what Elon Musk just did there. The richest man in the world tried to deflect and tried to bounce it back. Maybe they just hate you. I have all these followers. Homie, you have all these followers because you bought Twitter. This is like buying a restaurant and then going and hanging out in the restaurant and saying, I have 200 people that just hang around with me all the time. No, you bought the platform and you make everybody follow you when they make an account. That doesn't mean that you are well-liked by 250 million people. It's all, honestly, just pathetic. And I think that's a good place to leave it. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. I hope you appreciate these videos. We will keep calling out people in positions of power, people who use their positions of power to cover up for others. Remember, Elon Musk unbanned the Tate brothers. Elon Musk has praised the Tate brothers. I mean, it's all just so incestuous, these rich and powerful men committing crimes and helping each other. I love you all. I will see you all in the next video. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe below, and peace out.